may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I was about 7 years old. My brother was about 9. And we used to have deep, meaningful conversations about current events. It was towards the end of the Vietnam War, and we were hearing and seeing all kinds of stories about families going hungry and children starving because of the war. We had no idea where Vietnam was, but we were pretty sure we were facing an imminent invasion. So we thought it would be a good idea to start saving food in case our hometown in California was invaded. So after each trip my mom made to the grocery store, we would sneak a few canned goods into our room and put them up in the box springs of our beds. That went on for several months until my mom came in one time to get our sheets to wash and a can of tomato soup fell on her foot. She was a little surprised to find 50 or so cans of green beans, peas, and various other things, but she finally knew why food had been disappearing. After we explained to her why we had done it, she simply looked at us and said, "Would we let you starve?" And the look on her face was a mixture of surprise and hurt, and I'm pretty sure she was trying not to laugh. What does God think of our worries as adults? In our text this morning, Jesus tells his disciples words that are also meant for us. We hear the reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 31. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouses nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen." Well, my brother and I had fallen into the same way of thinking as Jesus' disciples just before this text. The same way of thinking that often causes us to wonder why God isn't caring for us. Maybe we look or ask for a sign and expect something like manna in the wilderness to appear. "I really wanted to get into that class, but it was already closed. Why did God let my computer crash the night before my paper was due?" I added that one just so you know you're not alone. "And why is it that it only snows on weekends?" We're tempted to blame God even for these small troubles instead of looking at the great blessings he's given us, that we are able to attend college, that we have the means to own a computer, that he provides snow that turns into water for the crops we need to survive. Each day we trust that our alarm will go off to wake us up in time for class. We trust that water will come out of the faucet when we turn the handle. We trust the car will start when we turn the key, that the heat warms us in winter and the air conditioning cools us in the summer. And we learn to rely on those things so much that we take them for granted. So much that when the alarm doesn't go off because we forgot to charge our phone, or the heat doesn't work, that we're surprised. But no one's promised us that these things will work all the time. But God has promised us that he will not only take care of our spiritual needs, but also what we need to live our daily lives. We trust that God has provided our salvation for us by becoming a man, living a perfect life and dying in our place. We trust that when we die, Christ's atoning sacrifice has made the payment for all of our sins, that our account with God is paid in full, and that we will live in eternity with him. We trust God that this great miracle, our free salvation, is true, but we can't always seem to trust that God will also provide for our daily needs. But Jesus said, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you?" God doesn't promise us beautiful clothing, rich foods, and palaces to live in. He promises to give us what we need for our lives. But for most of us here today, he's blessed us far beyond what we need to live. God has given us so much. We have such great wealth in our country that people of other countries can barely comprehend it sometimes. But he's given us and everyone in this world so much more. He gave us his Son to die for us. Jesus took away from us eternal suffering and death and gave to us an eternity of joy and life. God doesn't promise us that the life of a Christian will be easy. There will be many times when we suffer, many times of sadness, loneliness, financial problems, sickness. When those things happen, we can take comfort in the words of the Apostle Paul, who wrote by inspiration, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Today I invite you to take a look at everything God has given to you and realize how he has taken care of you and continues to take care of you. But at the same time, look to the cross. Look at what your Father has given you there. Only when we do this does the complete picture of God's love for us come into focus. The worries of this world are nothing when compared with the reward that awaits us in heaven. When we're tempted to blame God for our suffering and wonder why he doesn't take our pain away, we also look to his word. Where the Apostle Paul had a sickness which plagued him so much that he called it a thorn in his side, it affected him every day of his life. He prayed to God 3 times to take it away, but God answered, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." God's grace, his undeserved love for us, is sufficient for all of us. And so Jesus tells us, "Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." Not only will our Father always provide what we need to live, but he's promised us a home to live in which is far beyond any palace on this earth. He's promised us a feast like none ever seen before and gives us just a taste of that in the Lord's Supper. He's promised us clothing which will not only cover our bodies but cover our sins with the righteousness of Christ. His grace is sufficient for all of us. Amen. I invite you to please rise as we join together in praying the Luther's morning prayer, which is found at the top of page 167 in the front of your hymn book, page 167. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.